Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 10, entitled Battle Between the Demigods and Vritasura, Text Number 12.
Ya Takshasu Manu Buddhi Tatvadrig Dvasta Bandhana Astitta Paramam Yogam Nadeham Bhubhudegatam Yatakshasu Manu Buddhis Tatvadrik Dvastabandana Astitta Paramam Yogam Nadeham Bhubhudegatam Yatakshasu Manu Buddhis Tadvadrig Dvastabandana Astitaha Paramam Yogam Nadeham Bhubhudegatam.
Yata, controlled. Aksa, senses. Asu, the life air. Manaha, the mind. Buddhi, intelligence. Tattvadrik, one who knows the tattvas, the material and spiritual energies. Dvastabandhana, liberated from bondage. Astittaha, being situated in. Paramam, the supreme. Yogam, absorption. Trance. Na, not. Deham, the material body. Bhubhude, perceived. Gatam, left. Translation. Dadichi Muni controlled his senses, life force, mind and intelligence, and became absorbed in trance. Thus he cut all his material bonds. He could not perceive how his material body became separated from his self. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 8:5, Antakala chamameva smaran muktva kalivaram yaprayati samat bhavam yati nasti atasansaya. Whoever at the time of death quits his body remembering me alone at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Of course, one must practice before one is overcome by death. But the perfect yogi, namely the devotee, dies in trance, thinking of Krishna. He does not feel his material body being separated from his soul. The soul is immediately transferred to the spiritual world. Chaktadeham punarjanma naiti mam eti. The soul does not enter the womb of the material mother again, but is transferred back home, back to Godhead. This yoga, bhakti yoga, is the highest yoga system, as explained by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 6:47. Yoginam api sarvesam matgaten antaratmana shadavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The bhakti yogi always thinks of Krishna, and therefore at the time of death he can very easily transfer himself to Krishna Loka without even perceiving the pains of death. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananana Salakaya Shakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Se Gurave Namaha Si Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Si Guru Si Uta Padakamalam Si Gurun Vaisnavam Scha Si Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sivisakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visvana Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Shivasani Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The sage Dadichi was a very powerful transcendental personality. Because he was a great accomplished yogi who was fully absorbed in transcendence and had absolutely no bodily identification at all. He was completely free from any concept of being this material body, which is very difficult, as we all know. Theoretically, one may understand that we are aham brahmasmi, that we are spirit, spiritual beings, and not this material body, and that the material body is described as yantra rudani mayaya, as simply a machine, a yantra, made of the material energy. But can we realize it? Vacha vegan, manasa krodha vegan, jiva vegan, ugudra pasta vegan, etan vegan, yuvisaheta diram, sarvam apimam prithivim sasishyat. The senses are pushing and the body makes itself known to us. It makes itself known to us and pushes and enters into our consciousness. And we're experiencing the pushings of these senses in so many desires. Who can control the tongue? Who can control the acts of speech? Who can control the mind? It goes everywhere. Who can control anger? It's very strong sometimes. Who can control tongue, belly, genitals? That is very difficult. Sex desire overpowers the conditioned souls and pulls their mind into the material energy. And as a result, we are not able to think of Krishna, not able to think of the eternal goal of life, because our desire is so strong that we just get preoccupied with satisfying material needs. Dadichi, however, had absolutely no interest in material life. He had no attraction. Dadichi was completely transcendental, realizing he was not the body. And as such, he was a deeply accomplished sage. Somehow or other, we recall that this huge demon, Vritasura, had been created. And Vritasura was enormous. And the demigods, they were greatly afraid of such a personality. Indra had to fight with Vritasura, and Indra was not very eager for this fight. Seeing the enormous size of this demon, Indra was sort of afraid of this fight. So it was said by some prophecy that if they would make a weapon of the bones of the sage Dadichi, that that weapon could defeat Vritasura. So that was fine. There was only one complication, that the sage Dadichi was still alive, and sort of how to get his bones. So the demigods went to Dadichi and asked him very nicely, in a very humble mood, for some charity. And Dadichi said yes, even without knowing what it was. Right? He said yes. And then they said, "We want your bones." Now, most people, when you would approach them and say, "You want your bones," you go, "You can have my bones." Right? That's where aggression comes out. Self-defense is deeply rooted within the heart of every living being. The will to survive. Who wants to die? So Dadichi, somehow or other, was totally detached. Totally. He was so detached that he just said, "Yes, no problem. Give me a moment. Just give me a moment to give up this body, and then you can have it." Like that. And then he went into this trance, as is described here. And in that state of trance, he gave up his body. And then the demigods took the bones and did what they had to do. So we are looking at Dadichi today, at his amazing transcendental strengths. And we also realize that, as Srila Prabhupada is saying, "Yoginam api sarve sam," of all yogis, that one who is worshipping me, like he is the greatest of all yogis, who worships me, sradavan bhajate yo mam, who worships me with great faith, he is the greatest of all yogis, undoubtedly. Whether Dadichi was a Vaishnava, that is not really mentioned. He may not have been. He might have been simply just a yogi who was aware of Brahman. But what an extraordinary accomplished personality. Such strength. Such strength of concentration. Such depth of detachment. He realized that is something that is not found in this age of Kali. Well, Kavikarnapur, the one of the great devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and a great one of the stalwart acharyas in our tradition, who wrote about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Chaitanya Chandoy Natak, is describing. It is a drama, and in this drama, he is describing the life and pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at one point in this drama, renunciation personified is coming on stage. And renunciation is looking in a very depleted fashion, really like on his last legs. When you see him, renunciation, what happened to you? Right? And renunciation is wandering about and say, where are my friends? Where is mercy? Where is tolerance? Where is cleanliness? Where is friendship? Where is honesty? Where is truthfulness? Where have they all gone? And he's all looking at them like personalities. And all these personalities have disappeared. And renunciation starts looking. He starts looking for someone who is still sincerely following. And he sees some brahmanas. And they are discussing. He says, here must be some man dedicated to the truth. And he listens. And he says, he hears words like caste, logic, social designation, inference. He said, and they're arguing, but there is no discussion about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, he said, what is the point of listening to such men? And he moves on, and he comes to some yogi who is performing austerities. Here is a sincere person. But then he noticed, here is actually only a demon, one who is proud and who is just looking for self-glorification. He has no interest in the mercy of the Lord. And in this way, renunciation is wandering the earth, not finding any genuine personalities. He looks and he sees, he says, in this age, he said, a brahmachari is one who couldn't manage to get married. A grihastha is simply interested in filling the bellies of his families. Said, vanaprasthas are only in name and sannyasis are only different by dress. In that way, he's looking at the divinas in this age of Kali. And gradually he sees everything has become degraded. So where are those personalities of great strength? Where are these personalities who are truly renounced? Where are such personalities who are truly, truly merciful? Where are those who are really detached from the body? Where are those to be found who are truthful in this age of Kali? Everything is just show bottle, just showing off to others. And when no one's looking, then we can do any damn thing. So that is the age of Kali. And what is there? So what is left? What is left of these qualities? But then a celestial voice speaks, and this celestial voice is saying that devotional service
is still alive. And wherever devotional service is, there you will find all your friends. There you will find austerity. There you will find truthfulness. There you will find friendship. There you will find all these transcendental qualities. Wow. And then he explains, the voice continues and says that devotional service will be found in Navadvip, where now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared. So it is through this movement that those who are otherwise inherently weak, that those who are weak are suddenly becoming strong. It is inconceivable. The weak residents of the age of Kali, those whose birthright is weakness. It's our very birthright weakness. Everyone who is strong, who is truly strong, spiritually strong, like the Dichi was. Who is? Nobody. Nobody. It is only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by taking shelter of the process. See, there is no question of being great, powerful bhakti yogis. Sometimes you think, yes, yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, what will Maya do to me? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, I am transcendental. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So, Srila Prabhupada, in one lecture, addresses this point. And he describes, he says that Ajamil was a qualified brahmana. He was from a very good family. He was having so many good brahminical habits. Many good qualities he had. Respectful to his authorities. He was studying the scriptures. He was very learned. He lived in a gurukula. He was totally protected. Everything was favorable for him. And Ajamil got in trouble. He got in trouble. And he came from a better background than we did. He had better sanskaras. And he was in better conditions of life. And he was not successful. If Ajamil fell down, then what is our chance? Prabhupada speaks like this. But Ajamil, he didn't have one thing. He had one thing that saved him, the holy name. But one thing he did not have, although he had the holy name, one thing he did not have, he did not have the added mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is that added mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that makes the inherently weak souls of this age of Kali qualified. That somehow or other, even those, the lame, the blind, the dumb, right? We are remembering. Even they, somehow or other, are able, the lame climb mountains, the dumb recite eloquent poetry, the blind are seeing the luminaries, the stars in the sky. In other words, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, he said it's like, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an innocent child can swim across the ocean of nescience, which is filled with the crocodiles of many dangerous speculative theories. So just see that, you know, envision it for a moment. A child, little child is swimming in the ocean. What can a child do swimming in the ocean? Oh, child, be careful. Stay on the shore. You cannot swim so far. Oh, child is swimming. But my child, I am a good swimmer. Yes, you may be, but there are crocodiles, big ones, man-eating crocodiles. They will eat you. Horrible theories of all kinds of deviant philosophies. They will get you. They will gut strong men. What to speak of a child? But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that child swims across. So this is our condition. Our condition is not the condition of Dadichi. Our condition is not the position of strength. Our condition is the position of weakness. However, strength comes through mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives, his pure devotees, who are carrying this mercy faithfully, who take the mercy of Mahaprabhu and carry it and bring it to those who otherwise wouldn't bother, and somehow or other force it down, right? Even we don't need this, we don't want it, we don't care about this, no, leave us alone. Somehow or other, yes, we'll leave you alone. Sure. Somehow or other, Prabhupada said, by hook or crook, distribute these books. Somehow or other, give that mercy to your neighbors. Cookie. Prasadam cookie. Smart cookie. Like this. We get our neighbors like this, somehow or other. Secret weapons, 007, James Bond, in action, somehow or other. Secret agents of the Supreme Lord, spreading the mercy to those who do not desire. And in this way, the Sankirtan movement is spreading, and spreading strength, weakness transformed. Now, misery turned into happiness. Just like we see that Srivas Thakur had a servant, a lady who was bringing water every day. Her servant was bringing pots of water. And for the whole household, so there's a serious quantity of water. So whole day she was bringing water. And and then her name was Duki. Duki, the sad one. But by seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Duki became so happy. Duki didn't look like Duki anymore. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Duki has become Suki. The sad one has become the happy one. So that is what this movement does. Because what is that spiritual strength? Is it the strength of philosophical conviction? Is it the strength of learning? Of deeply knowing scripture? No, that strength will not last. That strength will not do. Scriptures say, Bhagavatam actually says, Balavan indriyan gramo vidvamsam api kersati. The senses are so strong that even a man of learning is struggling. So therefore, even learning, still weakness remains. Although there may be strength, every verse is a shield that blocks out Maya. Through these verses, we understand. Antakala chamameva smaran mukta kalevaram. At the end of time, at the end of life, if we remember the Supreme Lord, it reminds us of the long-term goal. That verse, Antakala Chamameva, reminds us, yes, I must think of the end, of the long term. Not just of immediate issues, no, the long-term benefit. It says, Etavats Janmavsafalyam Dehinam Ihadesu. Pranaratta diyavaja sriyam acharanam sada. It is said that if you want to make this life safalya, successful, then look at the long-term goal. Look at the long-term goal. And with our energy, our prana, with our possessions, our wealth, with our intelligence, with our words, we must engage for the long-term benefit, for Shreyas. So like this, we are finding verses in scripture that give us strength, that remind us when we are weak, when we feel like, oh, I cannot control the senses anymore. But then the verse says, no, you must do it. Don't worry about the temporary. Look at the long-term benefit. And you say, oh yes. Huh, long-term benefit. Okay. No, Maya, I don't want you. Long-term benefit. So in this way, scriptures do give us strength, but in the end, not enough. Knowledge will never be enough. Determination will not be enough. Even if we are the most determined person, I shall not fall down. Never. I shall not fall down. No, I shall not. But time, my friend, time is very powerful. And the strength of determination becomes depleted by time. Just as, have you ever loaded a truck with bags? Each bag is 20 kilos. Young man, strong, what is 20 kilos? Nothing for me. 20 kilos, one bag, second bag, 10 bags, bag number 11, my back. Bag number 50, bag number 63, So in this way, in determination, the weight increases over time. I will not do it, but the weight of austerity becomes heavier day by day. What was easy in the beginning becomes hard in the end. How will we carry on? No. Determination will not do. Austerity not sufficient. Just on the strength of austerity, we will not maintain our strength. We will not be saved from falling down. Then how can we avoid fall down? How? Only through devotional service. And why is it so? Because that brings us happiness. It is happiness that is our strength. When I'm happy, what can touch me? Nothing. When I'm happy, I don't care. I don't care about austerity. I don't care about anything when I'm happy. When I'm happy, I can tolerate. Oh yes, then I can tolerate. I'm so happy. I'm so happy to be in Vrindavan. It may be hot, but I don't care. Anyway, it's not so hot today. Right? But like this, we can tolerate because we are happy to be in Vrindavan. Then we can tolerate hot season. No problem. Otherwise, garam, 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 bahut, garam, garam, jada garam, 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 garam. The whole day, hot, hot, hot. We're chanting the mantra, garam, garam, garam. Not how to chant Hare Krishna when it's so hot and the mind starts chanting garam, garam, garam. No, it is not so easy. But when there's happiness, that is the key. So this movement is offering happiness, and it is because of that that there is strength in this movement. We are not famous for being great tapasvis. We are not. When it's a fast day, we don't like it. Most of us. And many don't even follow. So it's like, fast day, too much tapas. So So tapas is not our focus. Some, but are they like Kavikarnapur's yogi who was performing great tapasya, but why? Out of pride? Looking for cheap adoration? So that person who's looking for cheap adoration wants to be adored himself. That person is not adoring the Supreme Lord. That person misses the point. So, in this way, we must somehow or other take shelter of devotional service in a humble mood, acknowledging our weakness, understanding always, I am not a great powerful sadhu, I am simply weak, a weak resident of the age of Kali, and if I keep my head low, manmana bhava mat bhakto, keep my head low and just bow down at the feet of the Vaishnavas and at the feet of the Lord, then, and engage in devotional service, then I may be saved from fall down to this material world. Neha bikramo nasa sti pratyavaya na vijyate svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. The mahato bayat, the most dangerous type of fear, is to again fall down to the lower species of life. When we're talking about fall down, we're not just talking about breaking a principle, but we're talking about again falling down into the lower species of life as a result of repeatedly breaking principles of Dharma. Therefore, that is fall down. That is the most dangerous type of fear identified by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So in this way, we are careful. Careful in devotional service. And approaching it in a humble attitude. And then devotional service will give us strength. Will give us renunciation. Will give us tolerance. Will give us mercy. Where our heart was cold like stone, mercy again will awaken. Where we were incapable of friendship due to selfishness and the certain tendency to exploit others, now again we become selfless and are able to develop real friendships. All these things are possible again through devotional service. And that is our path. Dadichi stands like a unique personality in Srimad Bhagavatam. What can we say? All glories to Dadichi for his amazing transcendental determination. Thank you very much. Any question? Any comment? Wow. Hare Krishna, yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The child's very loud, powerful, so you try also.
I was appreciating how we take another look at our situation in Kali Yuga at the point of humility. But I find also it's easier to intellectually appreciate humility rather than actually awaken that. The false ego has such a strong grip, even if I want to consider myself fallen, the next moment, the false ego is again there. So can you just explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, to stay sort of in Kavikarnapur's metaphor, the qualities of such as humility, such as renunciation, such as tolerance, and so on, these qualities are not developed by a conscious effort. They're not developed by a psychological adjustment. They are therefore also not developed by by a philosophical approach. Philosophy will help us because it will give us a vision of what the goal is, of what humility truly is. So in that way, philosophy is useful. It's like, just as it's useful to study a map before we embark on a journey. Yeah? I mean, you know, you get to sort of, you know what you're expecting. You study the route. You sort of, okay. And you know, after a few hours, we're going to get mountains and all these things. That's useful to know. Huh? If you don't study and you just look at the distance from point A to B is so many kilometers, so that takes so many hours. But you didn't consider the mountains. So it changes the whole picture. So in that way, studying the map before the journey is useful. So in that way, philosophy or developing knowledge is useful. It defines more what humility is and what the process for attaining humility is and so on. But then humility will be will be asked for as we take up responsibility in devotional service. It is devotional service to Krishna that brings out these situations. And then, with the proper knowledge and etiquette, right, we must conduct ourselves in devotional service. And one of the rules in devotional service is that we may not claim any fame for our actions, right, but rather must give all credit to others. So I can't just say, I did that. You know? I did that. Okay? Generally speaking, we will say, just like Srila Prabhupada was saying, that if you see any good qualities, he says, just as the moon is reflecting the light of the sun, right? It's the moon doesn't have any light of its own. It's actually reflecting the light of the sun. But we see it in the sky as a luminary. He said, in the same way, if you see any good qualities in me, then know them to be the good qualities of my spiritual master. So that is a really profound statement, because Prabhupada, it wasn't artificial, because Prabhupada was thinking, he just dedicated himself to fulfill the order of his spiritual master. And therefore, whatever good quality came was the result of that order of the spiritual master. Therefore, actually, it was the reflection of his spiritual master. So he gave due credit to his spiritual master. Of course, we say, yes, but you dedicated yourself to your spiritual master, and that's your glory. So we'll give him the glory, of course. But he himself saying, no, if you see any good qualities in me, then know them to be the reflection of the qualities of my spiritual master. So that's etiquette. That's part of knowledge. So the knowledge, when we start to apply it, then it comes to life. Then this gyan becomes vigyan. And then it transforms into bhakti, basically. You see? Then, so the knowledge is good when it is engaged in devotional service. We are not in favor of the path of jnana. The path of jnana, or the path of knowledge, is the path where we are looking at the material energy and are seeing the temporary nature of the material energy and are seeing spirit behind it. And constantly, we are looking in that way. So, when the senses become attracted we remind ourselves, but these are only temporary sense objects that will be destroyed in time, and actually all there really is the eternal underlying energy, Brahman. So, remain detached. That is the path of Jnana, the Jnana mark. We reject. But when Jnana is connected with Bhakti, right, then Jnana becomes favorable. Because we use that knowledge in how to conduct devotional service properly, then that knowledge will become applied, and as is applied, becomes vigyan, and gradually all fruitive intent will disappear. You see? All, every bit of personal agenda will disappear. And that's the point where vigyan becomes bhakti. Therefore, Jnana Misra Bhakti also, or Karma Misra Bhakti, right, will also lead to Sudha Bhakti. In that sense, it's all right. It's all right. As long as we engage in devotional service and apply that knowledge. We must also satisfy our nature. We have different natures. And some people, if someone is a very simple farmer by nature, he will be happy growing some vegetables. He will be very ecstatic when he's got a big cauliflower. I lived for some time in the 80s on a farm in Australia. And I remember the ecstasy when they had the biggest cauliflower. Right? And this huge cauliflower, and they were so happy. And I was just saying, well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, big cauliflower or small cauliflower, you know, I mean, I just take, when I have small ones, I just take two cauliflowers and I got the same as one big one, right? So what's the big deal of having a big cauliflower? But for the farmer, it was ecstasy, the big cauliflower. And they couldn't stop talking about it. Right? All right. So, different natures. The farmer will understand the essence of transcendental knowledge. But his mind doesn't have the desire to like endlessly enter into philosophical aspects, this and that, you know. He likes to talk about cauliflower. Right? Whereas the one who is more philosophically inclined has to satisfy himself philosophically. Otherwise, later on, some doubts will arise. Because it also says in Bhagavatam that doubt is a symptom of intelligence. So jnana is also necessary, if it's in our nature, to be engaged in the service of bhakti. And those who have that capacity should become very learned. But not proud. Nasta prayesu abhadresu nityam bhagavata sevya bhagavati uttama sloke bhakti bhavati naistaki. By reading this Srimad Bhagavatam, almost all that is inauspicious in the heart is purified. Why almost? Why not all? Why almost all? Srila Prabhupada said on several occasions, because by studying the scriptures, we become proud. We become proud. So this is the most difficult pitfall when we start to engage jnana in the service of bhakti. That on the way we become more learned than others, and we may become proud as a result. Think, I know. But it is not like that. Because we should understand, real knowledge is not jnana, real knowledge is vigyan. And the importance is not, sometimes we see the essence is not this point of scripture, that point of scripture, because one has to look at the acharyas, how to apply the scripture, how to apply it. We see sometimes Prabhupada followed a point of scripture. Sometimes he didn't follow so much. He crossed the ocean Although in Manusamhita it says that one shouldn't cross the ocean, one should stay in the land where the black deers are roaming from coast to coast. So Prabhupada sometimes showed to be transcendental to some injunctions. That's the acharya. So the acharyas will show how to apply. So we must watch out for pride. But that we can only do theoretically. So watch out for pride, but I'm getting proud. Therefore, even study of Srimad Bhagavatam must be accompanied by chanting Hare Krishna. Because in chanting Hare Krishna, right, we come to a point where it's not so easy. When we are chanting in kirtan and melody is so sweet, Hare Krishna, Ananda, 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 so much ecstasy. But then we come to japa, all alone, and suddenly it's not so sweet. During the kirtan you think, I'm approaching bhava, sometimes I'm having it. During japa you realize, my God, you know, I'm a neophyte, I'm just at anartha nivritti. I'm struggling with anarthas. So in this way, in chanting, right, we are getting confronted with ourselves. And we just realize, I can only chant with the help of the mercy of the Lord. You know? And you start praying, you know, as you go on. Some Krishna, somehow or other, give me the strength. O Balaram, somehow or other, give me the strength. O Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, somehow or other, give me your mercy. So that somehow or other, I am able to carry on and do this simple thing of chanting, of faithfully chanting 16 rounds every day without fail. This simple thing. So easily lost. So easily. This simple thing. Just by prayer. Like that. So chanting is what will bring us to humility. Srila Prabhupada explains. Along with the knowledge that we get from scriptures. Okay, I leave it at that. I thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.